at God's faithfulness. The subject is our true and faithful God. God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Look, if you will, with me at Psalm 89, beginning at verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto Thee, or to Thy faithfulness round about Thee? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for giving us the privilege of knowing You, of knowing the truth about You, of having Your Word to guide us in that, in our understanding, in our worship, and in our daily lives. Father, we thank You again for reminding us, as we've come early this morning, of the privilege we have to enter Your presence and sing Your praises and open Your book, and Lord, to be with Your people in Your house. Father, again, we thank You so much for watching over us as we came today. Thank You for the strength You gave us and the safety. Thank You, Lord, for giving us the health that we have. Thank You for every blessing that made this possible, that we might come and worship You. And now, Lord, as we continue, we pray that You would be lifted up in all of our thoughts and all of our words, in the songs that have been sung. Lord, we know You have been lifted up. We pray also from our hearts as we've sung, that these words have come from true hearts of worship. And Lord, that we've not just gone through the motions this morning of hearing and singing, but truly from our heart, we know these things are true of You. Father, now we ask that You help us understand Your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, to see it in a fresh light, in a clear way. Help us, Lord, to realize just how true and faithful You are, and call from us, Lord, a faithful response, faithful service, faithful worship, faithful giving, faithful ministry, and faithful in our families. Help us, Lord, in every way to be faithful in return to You. You never fail us. And though we do fail You, Lord, we pray today we might find forgiveness, and that You'd set us on a path to get back, to be faithful in whatever area we need to be. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Our true and faithful God, what a subject we have today. You've probably noticed several verses mention that wonderful truth. The old story is told about George Washington and his father confronting him with a cherry tree that was cut down. And when he was asked about the matter, George Washington's famous statement was, "I cannot lie, I cut down the tree." Well, ironically, in that confession, he did tell a lie, because he said, "I cannot lie." And the truth, as we all know it, is we can and we do lie, right? Either in word or in attitude and action, some way or another, we all transgress in that area, but not God. He cannot ever lie. It says in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, very simply, God cannot lie. It's one of the things that God cannot do, because it contradicts His very nature. God is the source of all truth, and He is the guardian of truth. And especially in how he relates and how he acts, he is the very example and the very epitome of truth. Now I want to ask you this question. How many people do you know that you can really depend on? That number is smaller than you think it is, isn't it? How many people do you know that you can really confide in? When you say, now, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want it to go any farther than between you and me. Can you be faithful in what I'm about to tell you? Why, you don't need very many fingers to count those people that you can tell something in confidence. And so it is. Man by nature is unfaithful. Man by nature is unreliable. But by contrast, God is always faithful and always reliable, always true to His Word. And it is an absolute fact that though everybody else will fail you at times, God will never let you down. Now, Psalm 89 kind of highlights the faithfulness of God. If you look at the whole psalm, it really highlights the covenant that God made with David and David's descendants. You know, God is a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Our Bible is made in two parts. The Old Testament, another word is covenant, and the New Testament, the New Covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement, and it's only as good as the one who makes it. God made both covenants, didn't He? The Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the covenant with David, and there are other covenants in the Bible we could mention, but God is the maker and the one who keeps the covenants. So in that light, we're going to examine the faithfulness of God. And first of all, a good place to start when we talk about God's faithfulness is the fact that God is faithful to Himself. He is faithful to His own character. He is watchful of His own integrity, we might say. Now, we should be watchful of our own integrity, but we're human. God is perfect. And being perfect, He has to maintain that perfection. And one of His attributes of perfection is His absolute faithfulness to always be true to His nature, to His character. We think about God's attributes, they're all related. Now, we've been preaching on this subject, different attributes of God, and we've taken them up separately, considered them individually. And though we would look at them that way, I want to remind you they can never really be separated. They are for the purpose of investigation and for the purpose of preaching and teaching. But all these attributes of God can never ever be separated one from the other. That is, God is always loving and at the same time He's always holy. And so this matter of God's faithfulness is interrelated to many other attributes that God has. For example, His power. He is all-powerful, right? He's omnipotent. We've covered that. And we believe that. Amen? We haven't forgotten that, have we? No, He's all-powerful. And so His faithfulness is linked to His omnipotence. How so? Because if God were in any way limited in power, He might want to do something. He might make a promise that He could not keep. He might say, this is a good thing to do, and I've promised to do it, but I don't quite have the power to pull it off. So obviously He has to have the power to do what He says He's going to do. The same would be true of the fact that God is unchangeable. If God were changeable, then He might make a promise and then decide not to keep it. If He was not all wise, He might think, well, you know, I thought that was right in the beginning when I said that, but now I've come to learn that that wasn't really true. And of course, that's impossible for God to do that. So His faithfulness is linked to, related to, every aspect of His character. If God were ever unfaithful, He would cease to be God, because at that point, He would cease to be perfect. God is perfect in every single way. Now, if we were to look at this word faithful, particularly in the original language, the word here in the Old Testament has to do with something that you can prop yourself upon, like the idea of a support, something that is firm, something that is stable, something you can put your weight on. That's the idea. If God is faithful, you can lean upon Him and you can find support. And it's interesting in the Bible when it talks about unfaithfulness, one of the verses about unfaithfulness, it reveals that to be unfaithful is you can't put pressure on something. You can't put support upon it. Here's a verse that's tucked away in the book of Proverbs talking about human unfaithfulness. It says in Proverbs 25 and verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now we can understand that. A broken tooth, you can't chew with it. A foot out of joint, you can't walk on it. It won't support you. And so it is. Men, people can be unfaithful. You can't depend on them. You can't look to them for support. You can't put your weight on them. You can't depend on them. But not so with God. So people can be unfaithful in many areas. They can be unfaithful to their family, their work, their service to God, and on the list goes. But God is always faithful because He has to be. That's just who He is. 2 Timothy tells us that in chapter 2 and verse 13, it tells us this, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So people may or may not believe in Him, but that doesn't change who He is and what He does. Always true, always faithful. In fact, the Bible sometimes uses the faithfulness of God as a contrast to man's unfaithfulness. We sing a song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You know where that's found? It's found in a book called Lamentations, chapter 3. And Lamentations, a word that means grieving or lamenting, has to do with the judgment that God brought upon His people because they were unfaithful to Him. And yet in a book that describes God's punishment upon an unfaithful people, we find this statement about God's faithfulness by way of contrast. Lamentations 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. That is, because God is merciful, He hadn't just wiped us out totally. He did preserve a remnant, always, didn't He? Why? Because He was faithful to do that. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Psalm 36, verse 5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I often think what life would be like to have lived back then. You think about the old heroes of the faith, the stories of the Bible. And I think we all realize that they are not only removed from us in terms of many, many years, but the culture we live in and the culture they lived in, far removed one from another. They dressed differently, ate differently, conducted their lives differently than we do. And yet I want to remind us all, as we think about the Bible, reading through the Bible, Sunday school lessons, sermons, what have you, there is this common link between us and the people of the Bible. And it's this, their God is the same as our God. They had a different way of life, a different pace of life, a different circumstances, different era, all that, everything different, but God is the same. And this is the attribute that is linked to God's faithfulness, and it's simply that God is unchangeable. If we could just get that in our hearts, that the God of Moses is our God, the God of Abraham is our God, the God of David in this covenant with David, He is our God. He has not changed. He could not change. You have a couple of testimonies, for example, in the Old Testament and the New that I want to mention about God's unchanging nature. And we looked at that in a message several weeks ago, but it's always good to remember. Malachi 3 and verse 6, For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then in the New Testament, James 1:17 reminds us, Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is not the slightest difference you will ever find in God. And so therefore, since He is unchangeable, He's always reliable. You see how those two things hang together. So God is true and faithful to His own character. He is as loving as He always has been, as holy as He always has been, as powerful, and on it goes, as He ever has been. Faithful and true to Himself. A second area I want to explore with you is this, that God is true and faithful to His promises. Now, I think all of you appreciate this. You know, we talked about the bulletin cover and spring on its way. Well, listen to God's promise. As He told the world right after the flood, He made this promise in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. I like that, don't you? We're going through a season of cold. We're going through the season of winter. But as sure as we're experiencing the cold, we'll have the heat. And why is that? Because God is faithful to His creation. He's faithful, and the seasons demonstrate His faithfulness. He made a promise, and He's always kept it, and He always will keep it. Not only is He faithful to His promises, but He's faithful to answer prayers. He's faithful to answer prayers. It says in Psalm 143, verse 1, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness." Why do we take the time to pray? Well, we know somebody's on the other end. Somebody who cares about us. Somebody who's listening to us. Somebody who knows what we need. And somebody we can unload our hearts, our burdens to, and tell everything to. And so He is faithful. That's the reason we pray. And He answers prayer, yes, according to His will and His time and all of that. But He's always faithful to hear and to answer according to His will. He's also faithful to forgive our sins. What a promise that is. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. There it is. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So at the very heart of receiving God's forgiveness is this matter that we can always depend upon God to be faithful to do that. When we come to Him confessing, seeking forgiveness, we don't have to wonder, have we gone too far this time? Have we messed up one too many times? The Bible assures us He is faithful to forgive us. And then God is faithful to keep all of His promises. That is, we can lump them all together, all of His promises. And we'll just consider a few verses along this line. Psalm 119, verse 138. "Thy testimonies that Thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Very faithful is God's Word. And then Numbers 23, verse 19. "God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent," that is to change His mind. "Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good?" If language means anything, the point is, God will never have to back up and say, "Oops, I overspoke on that one," or "I jumped the gun on that one." Everything He promises, He's thought through, and everything He's promised, He'll make good on. We have Joshua's testimony to the people of Israel and how this ought to encourage us. After they'd come in and they settled themselves in Canaan and the Promised Land, and that took some time, you know, God was with them all the way in spite of their unfaithfulness and a few setbacks. And at the end of that process, here's what Joshua, their leader, said in Joshua 23, and verse 14, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth." That is, Joshua says, "I'm about ready to leave this world. But before I go, I want you to remember something. And you know that in your hearts and in all your souls, that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you. And not one thing hath failed thereof." Joshua was a good leader. He reminded the people, not of His faithfulness, but of God's faithfulness. He said there's not one thing God has said to us that He has not made good on. And so that gave them confidence when He was gone to go on depending on God, trusting in the Lord. Near the end of the Bible, it's interesting, God reminds us of this attribute over in the last chapters of the Bible, that He is faithful and true. Listen to this. In Revelation 21, verse 5, "And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me," that is, unto John, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." You ever wonder why God had to tell John again, write? Well, John had been writing, you know. Why did He have to tell him to write? Could it be because he was so caught up in everything he was seeing and hearing? You know, like, don't just look at this, John. Write it down, son. Write it down. These words are true and faithful. Revelation 22:6, the very last chapter of the Bible. "And He said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done." So God is putting His stamp on the last book, almost the last verse of the Bible, saying, it's all true because I said it, because I promised it. It's all going to come to pass. Let's move to another area, a third area, and that is, not only is God true to Himself, God's true to His Word, His promises, His covenants, but He's true to His people. He's always faithful to care for His people, His chosen people. In Israel in the Old Testament, the church in the New Testament, He made promises, we've already referred to this, called covenants. And covenants are solemn, binding promises, entering into a relationship or an agreement. And God was always faithful to Israel, even though they were not always faithful to Him. God was faithful, for example, to say that He would be with His people in spite of their failure. He said, "I'll judge you, I'll chasten you." In Deuteronomy, for example, chapter 7, verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." And we're one of those generations. He was faithful to our forefathers, wasn't He? And their forefathers, all the way back, and He'll be faithful to our children and our grandchildren. On and on and on, He's faithful with Israel. And also He's faithful, as I said, to the church. And one way in which He's faithful, the Bible makes it clear, is in calling us into His family, calling us to salvation. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." God is faithful. You've been called into the fellowship of His Son. That's speaking of salvation. God was faithful to do that. Had God not been faithful, we would not be saved. You see, salvation is a work of God, isn't it? Who takes the initiative here? God does. And He's faithful to convict us of sin and show us the way of salvation. And as the Bible says, He draws us, He woos us. He's faithful in calling us. And this is what we call the new covenant that He's made with us. And we commemorate that. We remember that in the Lord's Supper. That's what that's all about, is to remember that it's a covenant sealed with the blood of Christ. What could be more important than to do that? To remember God's faithfulness in calling us. And then God is faithful in our temptations. In our temptations. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." So there will be temptations, there will be trials. But God says, "I'll always make an escape route." Our problem is, we don't always look for the way out, do we? There's a way out, but we don't always look for the way out. Let's be honest. Sometimes we look for the way in or the way to stay in. And that's where we get in trouble. But God says, "I will always make a way of escape." There'll always be a way out of the temptation. He is faithful to do that. He's also faithful in our sufferings, the Bible says. Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me. Now that speaks, I believe, of God's chastening. And God can chasten us in several ways. He can chasten us through circumstances of life, sometimes sickness, sometimes loss of this or that. But in faithfulness, God afflicts us. It's because He cares about us. He's building character within us. There's another kind of suffering, and that is persecution from unbelievers. And the Bible speaks of that and God's faithfulness in that. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Just keep committing yourself to Him, even though there is pressure brought against you, even with threat of death. Who knows what we're going to face in this world with all that we see going on? They're killing Christians in other parts of the world. Who knows what's going to happen to us before we get out of here? But God will be faithful to us as we commit ourselves to Him as a faithful Creator, and even beyond that, a faithful Heavenly Father. The Bible says we can trust God and He's faithful even when life doesn't make sense. Isaiah describes this, Isaiah 50 and verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of his Lord and stay upon his God. The word stay means lean upon his God, which gets back to the original idea of faithfulness, to lean upon, to prop yourself upon. That says, when you're walking in darkness and you don't have any light, that's not talking about physical darkness and physical light. It's talking about going through life when you can't make sense of what's going on. Haven't we been there at some times in our life when we were walking in darkness? And what a statement somebody made, and what a statement has stayed with me, and it's this, and I'll share it with you. It's a wonderful thing to remember when you get there. Never doubt in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Is God faithful in the light when the sun's shining bright and you have things working your way? Of course He is. Is God good then? Of course He is. He's also good in the dark when you can't make sense of it all. He's still faithful. And then God is faithful in preserving us. I'm talking about preserving us in our salvation all the way through, taking us all the way to heaven, we might say. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, what a word it is. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means entirely. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. What a statement. Who's going to preserve us? Our faithful God. The same one who called us is the same one who's going to complete what He started. Our eternal security depends on God's faithfulness, not on our faithfulness. If it did, we'd be in a world of trouble. God is faithful in working out His purpose. Let's take this a step further. God is faithful in working out His purpose. We love to quote Romans 8:28. We often do it. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But we usually stop right there. What is God's purpose? The next verses tell us what God's purpose is for every one of His children. Listen carefully. For whom He did foreknow, this is verse 29, Romans 8:29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. You hear these words and you think, I'm not sure I understand all of what that is saying. And that's all right. And some people hear the word predestinate or predestination and or calling or election, and they say, I'm not so sure about that. But one thing's for sure, you cannot deny this, it's in the Bible. So you have to understand, it's something that God is saying, and so it's up to us to find out what it means. And we're not going to do that in this message. But here's what I do want you to see. The same ones that it says are foreknown are the very same ones that are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And the very same ones that are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son are the very same ones who are called. And the same ones who are called are the very same ones that are justified. And the ones that are justified are the very same ones that are glorified. And if you noticed in the text, it says, them that He called, He also justified, and them whom He justified, He also glorified. So in God's mind, it's as good as done. From beginning to end, God's purpose is worked out, and it's settled and done. Why is that? Because God's faithful to see it through. And you and I are a part of that process. All of those things are like golden links in the chain of God's purpose. And you and I are a part of that. So it ought to bring us great assurance to know that God's up to something. He was up to something way even before we were born and before we were a thought in this world. But we were on God's heart and on God's mind. You could say that our whole future depends upon God's faithfulness. Just think of it like that. Everything in your future depends upon His faithfulness. His purpose, His promises will all be fulfilled and worked out. Which brings me to the last thing, and the thing that we need to apply. We've talked about God's faithfulness, but let's consider here for a minute that God expects us as His people to be true and faithful to Him. God expects His people to be true and to be faithful to Him. I want to mention three things here. First of all, God expects us to be true and faithful because He is true and faithful. You know, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. That's a strange thing, isn't it? To hear God is jealous. But that's what the Bible says, and it presents it in a positive way, not a negative way. And what it simply means is that God, since He is perfect, since He is loving, since He is holy, since He is faithful and all the things that we can say about Him, He deserves and expects our total devotion. He deserves and expects our complete trust and our total devotion. The same idea when Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You can't have it both ways. You'll either serve one or you'll serve the other. God, being a jealous God, is simply saying He is so perfect and so wonderful, He expects and demands and deserves our complete trust and our faithfulness to Him. We ought to be like Abraham. It was said of Abraham in Romans 4 that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham said, if God said it, that's good enough for me. I'll trust Him. Now, was Abraham perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. Sometimes his faith faltered. But as time went on, and as time goes on in our life, we should be trusting God ever more, more and more and more. Like the song says, learning to lean. Remember? Because as we lean, we have found Him always faithful. So we learn to lean. And then as we lean more. And we are more faithful, hopefully, as we should be as time goes on. The same idea as Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Think of it this way. Suppose you're describing someone, an individual, and you say about this person some very glowing words. Well, that person is so kind. That person is so thoughtful. That person is wise. That person is good-hearted. That person is very generous. That person is very forgiving. And you go on, and then you come to the end of that description and you say, but the only thing about that person is you just can't trust them. Wow. Well, you've just cut the foundation out of everything else that you've said. And yet I wonder if people sometimes realize that's exactly what they do to God. We've talked about all these other attributes, that He's holy, He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He is ever-present, and on we could say, but at the very foundation is He can be trusted. And He should be trusted. In fact, He should be trusted most by those who know Him best. We're more accountable for those than those who have not heard these truths out of God's Word about His attributes. The more we know about Him, the more we ought to want to trust Him, be willing to depend upon Him. So He expects us to be true and faithful. And then He expects us to be true and faithful in our own character. Remember, we said that He is faithful because of who He is. Well, we ought to be faithful in our dealings with other people, because that is who we are. We are true and faithful in our own character. Psalm 15 and verse 1 asks the question, Lord, who can abide in Thy tabernacle? Who can dwell in Thy holy hill? That is, who can have fellowship with You, God? The answer, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. That's integrity. Truth in the heart. Remember when David sinned against God with Bathsheba and all the cover-up? Psalm 51 is his great confession. And in the middle of that confession, he really hits the key issue with God and himself when he says this in Psalm 51:6, Behold, thou, meaning God, desirest truth in the inward parts. God wants truth in our heart. Don't lie to yourself. Be true to yourself. Be true to your spouse. Be true to your children or your parents. Be true to your friends. Be true to your fellow Christians. Be true. Be real. Be genuine. Be faithful. And then that brings us to the last thing. God expects us to be true and faithful in our service. I would remind you that this is the one character quality that God is looking for in His people. Did you know that? This is what we're going to be judged on when we get to heaven. For rewards, I'm talking about. The judgment as to whether you get into heaven or not, that's already been settled on the cross, right? But whether we get few rewards or many rewards and the kinds of rewards, you know what's going to be based on? One word. Were we faithful? The parable of the talents. One got five, one got two, one got one. The time of reckoning. What'd you do with your talents? The talents represent our abilities, our time, our resources, as stewards, everything about us. Well, the man with five said, I used the five I had and gained five more. What was the answer? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. The person with two talents, he said, I had two and I traded and made two more. Heard the very same thing. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Sadly, the one with one talent went and buried it and was rebuked by the master. What's God looking for? Faithfulness. Paul says so in 1 Corinthians 4. In verse 2, he says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Not successful. Not some of the other things the world wants to be and wants us to be. But faithful. That's what God is looking for. So just be faithful. Faithful with your time. Faithful with your abilities. Faithful with your resources. Just be faithful. Be a reflection of your Heavenly Father. That's what He wants us to be. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we want to thank You for Your faithfulness. We didn't have to wonder when we got up this morning if You would be available for us to pray. We didn't have to wonder when we read Your Word, can we trust it? today. We didn't have to wonder about your Spirit being here when we worship. You promised to be with us wherever two or three are gathered. And Lord, we don't have to wonder if you're willing to bless and meet us at the point of our need today. We know you're always faithful, always ready. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the fact that we can always depend upon you, rely upon you. And Lord, help us to be reliable. Help us to be faithful and dependable as servants and as sons, as children of the King. And Lord, today, if there's anyone who needs to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we know you're faithful to call them. You're faithful to speak to their heart and draw them and woo them. May we hear the call today. May we answer that call of salvation if we need to answer it. And anything else in our lives, Lord, that you're calling us to do, help us to be faithful, to answer that call, and to be obedient. We pray it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.